Our theme for the year has been Powered by Grace, and our series that we've been teaching on is Faith and Hope. And today we're going to be coming from Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. That's the book of Acts, chapter 2, 1 through 4. And as we read here, it reads verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," and I want you to note that, "they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Amen. And one of the things I want to really express and share about this particular passage in this text is that in the book of Acts, you're dealing with now the New Testament church, which is a first century church. And when you deal with the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're dealing with more Old Testament writings at that time, although they're labeled as the Gospels and the Synoptic Gospels, rather. And John expressed a more radical way of focusing on the man Christ Jesus. And in the book of Acts, you're dealing with a lot more miracles. You're dealing with a lot more action, and you're seeing a lot more things take place in this first century church. And I would rather say first century movement. And it's something here on Pentecost, as we know that Pentecost came 50 days after the Passover. And that was something that a place that Jesus admonished and told his disciples to go because he wanted to do something in a phenomenal way, in a more radical way that they have never experienced before. And so they had went to the upper room, and they didn't start with a whole group. And that's a great motivator, because a lot of people feel that they have to start with a multitude, when in fact that these apostles only started with a few and grew and lost people along the way, but at the same time, they stayed focused and stayed in faith and in hope, anticipating everything that Jesus had taught them will come into fruition. And so the great thing about this, that they were all on one accord, and I'm pretty sure that they had different perspectives and different thoughts and different mannerisms, mechanisms and things that they wanted to do. But one of the things I believe that the body of Christ, we need to focus on at this time, is coming on one accord as a believer. And we understand that Jesus paid a significant death and a price for all man's sin, and gave us back power to pursue the things that he has ordained in the beginning. And so one of the great things that I want to point out is that he told them to go to a place. And if we want to see some miraculous things happen in our lives, in our churches, in our businesses, or just in our surrounding spaces, we have to stay on one accord, and we have to stay focused on the message of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was a trailblazer. He was a pioneer that pioneered the movement in this first century, because there was not another that ever did in the type of miracles and performed in so many great manners as Jesus did. Although he did come back and say that there we will have greater works shall we do, but the fact of the matter is he led a movement, and it was a more radical movement. This was not somewhat of a traditional movement, or this was not even something that people had ever witnessed before since the Tower of Babel, because the languages was dispersed out and went in different directions, because they came at that time on one accord, that they were building things that has never been done before. But the day of Pentecost was a very pivotal point, because I believe that if we want to be led, we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And I would take that, if you can take a pitcher of water and take a cup, and when you overflow that cup with the pitcher of water, it's coming out of, now you begin to see the overflow that will begin to flow, because the water will begin to run over out of that cup. And that's one thing that we have to acknowledge, is when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we understand the significance of what the Spirit is supposed to do within us, God in us, then we'll be living out of the overflow. And we had a time now that people are depressed in their minds and their life because of various life issues. We feel that Life is not as it should be. We see people that's just empty and just poured out because they have given so much. And it may be you that I'm talking to that you have just did and exhausted all of your finances, exhausted all of your gratitude, your kindness, and you feel yourself just being poured out and being empty, taken advantage of, and all these things. But one thing that the Holy Spirit does for you, it keeps you living out of the overflow. And that's one thing that when the Holy Ghost came, it filled the house and they began to live out of the overflow again, because we have to understand at this time it was a radical time. The leader had just died and they didn't know what direction to go. And sometimes we feel empty in our lives and we feel like we're in a trapped room, or the door's trapped and we just barricaded in and have no options. But one thing God does, he sent us this comforter, which was him, to be inside of us, to be a light unto our path. And so we want to recognize that when we are filled with this Holy Spirit, there that is going to be a direction, is going to be an illumination in our life, and it's going to cause us to flourish again. And that's one thing that these first century apostles did at this time, which revolutionized the first century church, because they started with a very minimum of people that were supportive and grew in that day to 3,000 or more, because they seen the radicalness of God in their life. And I believe we have to get that radicalness back in our lives. We have to build our faith back up. And the only way we build our faith is by standing his word. We have to understand the ecclesiastical order. As a Levitical priest, is by reading his word day and night. The Bible says in Joshua that we need to meditate day and night, that we shall have great success. And I'm paraphrasing that here, but when you begin to meditate on his word day and night, and you begin to read and build your faith and confidence up, then you will see a manifestation of the blessing coming back to you. And a blessing is sometimes something that you need an infilling in your own personal life. And if you need a car, you need money, you need houses, and that's fine. That comes along with it, but that's not the premier statement that I want to make here. All those things will be added to you as you seek the kingdom of heaven. But sometime you need to get into prayer and intercessory prayer and learning how to love God again and learning how to trust him again. And it's by faith that we do this, as Hebrew notes that without faith it is impossible to please him. And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things that's not seen. So faith is something that radicate in my life to believe God on a next level and on another dimension that I may accelerate in my own life. And that is something here that we deal with Pentecost. And I know that this is just a snippet of what I'll be talking about. And when I come back, I can finish a little bit more up. But Pentecost was something that the believers had to gather together and pull their faith together and pull their hope together and come on one accord. And when Peter preached this thing, because after the Holy Ghost had fell and it filled the house to the point that they got the fire back in their life, and all of the depression left, and all of the sorrows and all of those things left, because they was infilled with a power that was overflowing in a life. And God desires for us to live out of the overflow. The Bible says in John that he came that we may have life and that we have it more abundantly. So I believe that this is a season that we have to live out of the abundance of his life and understand what the resurrection of Jesus Christ have done for us. He paid for every sinful deed that we would ever endure in the past and even in the future. And he's gave us life abundantly. And so we have to get back into a place with God and say, you know what? I know I felt left down before. I know I felt like I was walked over. I know I felt like I was taken advantage of, but we get back into that place of loving him again, trusting him again. And it's by faith that we will see our life resurrect with him, because the Bible talks about how as he's resurrected, we will be resurrected with him. And so this whole movement of this time was not only for them that was in the upper room, but this movement shed about the whole city, and not only the whole city, but it hit the nation. And we see this happen not only on the day of Pentecost in the first century, but we saw it done at Azusa Street, William C. Seymour done it. And I believe that we're living in a time right now that God want to release his spirit back into his people. But we have to become, and we got to come in a place now to be under subjection of his spirit, to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to open myself up to receive you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe every door that you're opening for me. I'm going to allow you to order my steps as you have told me you would. But it takes us releasing this thing. And I know know, as we were talking earlier, sometimes we so used to being in that driver's seat and we want to drive the vehicle everywhere. But sometimes we got to get in the passenger seat and let God navigate our life and let him drive us to the place he wants us to go. Because, see, we have to understand that he had preordained us here before the foundation of the world. And when we get back into place of trusting him and understanding his mindset, understanding his heart as we seek him, then we'll begin to see our future come to fruition in our lives, because we are here to be blessed, to be a blessing to others. But, and I can understand, hey, if God is not blessing you, how could you bless somebody else? But we need to get back into a position of the blessing of God, get back in the ordinance, getting back in the alignment to receive him in our life as our Lord and Savior, and also receive his Spirit. And then we begin to see evidence in our lives, because evidence is something significant. And then you begin to see your circle begin to change with people coming around you more. Because, see, a lot of people is not attracted to darkness. People want to go where light is. And see, the Bible says that we are a city, a light that's set upon a hill. And so as we are illuminated with the Holy Spirit in our lives, and as we begin to live out of the overflow of what he ordained us to do, then we'll begin to see people being drawn back to us, because of the anointing that's on our life, because of the Spirit that's flowing out of our life, because we're living out of the overflow. And to sum this up, I want to wrap this up, and I want to ask you today, for those who are struggling, maybe somebody's on a fence right now, somebody may be going through a form of depression, I just want to pray for you. And I want to ask you, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Because that's the very first step to the plan of salvation. And by doing that, sir, ma'am, you will begin to see a turnaround just from that movement alone. And I believe that God has called you to be a trailblazer in this season, and he need you to be a 21st century a disciple. And I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me if you haven't. And I just want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I know that you have died on the cross for all of my sins. I repent for all of my sins, and I ask for forgiveness. And I'm asking you to be my Lord and personal Savior today. And I would ask, if you prayed that prayer and believe by faith that you have received him, you're going to see a turnaround in your life. And again, I would love for you to meet us to finish this conversation up at Empowered Church International Palmdale. And again, that address is 2205 East Palmdale Boulevard, Suite B, Palmdale, California. And we would love for you to fellowship with us. And you can also just give us a call. And if you have prayer, call us and talk to us. 877-228-5100. And we would love to see you there. And you can join us at our Bible study hour Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And for those families out there, I just want to admonish and let you know, hey, we have a learning center as well. We would love for kids K through 12. And we would love to have them. We're giving away free scholarships at this particular period of time. And give us a call. Shout out to us. Let us know that you're there. And keep this sermon in mind. You may need this one day. So you want to keep this with you. And we're here for you as we bless the Lord today. God bless you.